Joined now in the studio, or joined now on the phone, rather, in the studio by Tom Jensen, who's the director of public policy polling based on a Raleigh national polling outfit that just has a new survey out from the state of Wisconsin, which we actually just got done talking about partisan gerrymandering there. But new state-level poll shows that some of the leaders in Wisconsin who are not subject to district lines might be in a little bit of statewide trouble. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So, talking about the president, as always, and honestly, like listening to that CBS report, I almost kind of want him to just go ahead and build the wall just to see what he comes up with after it's done and nothing has changed and the problems still remain, just what his explanation for that is going to be. But the popularity ratings, the approval ratings for the president have been stagnant, holding steady, but holding steady at a very low level, like 36, 38, 40%, depending on the survey, 41, 42, kind of holding steady around 40%. And it's a very, very vocal and prominent 40%, which is making life difficult for a lot of Republicans in the Senate, obviously, who are sort of pushing back against Trump, but then hearing it from their base, which is also his. But where does that leave Republicans in general? You did a survey of the state of Wisconsin recently. Numbers just came out, and Scott Walker, the governor of Wisconsin, looks like he's in a little bit of trouble, and that seems to be a consequence of the fact that the leader of his party is unpopular even in that state, which he won, right?
Yeah, I think this Wisconsin poll we did is sort of an interesting microcosm of the country because it is one of those places that shifted from voting Democratic for president for John Kerry and Barack Obama and then voted for Trump last year. And we're sort of seeing a course correction of sorts in the state now. Donald Trump only has a 40% approval rating there. 52% of voters disapprove of him. That's really pretty close to what we find in our national numbers, even though Trump did get that surprising victory in the state last year. And then Scott Walker, the I think pretty well-known and perhaps in some quarters notorious governor, really looks like he's in trouble for re-election. Only 43% approve of the job he's doing, 49% disapprove, and then against a generic Democratic opponent, he's down 48-43. And I think this speaks to something that's sort of an interesting dynamic for some of these Republican governors who won their previous elections in strong Republican midterms in 2010 and 2014. They're now running in a totally different political climate from what they were dealing with in their previous elections. And in 2010, Republicans were mad that Obama was president. They were really fired to get up and vote. Democrats were a little complacent. In 2014, Republicans were mad that Obama got reelected. They were fired up and ready to go vote. Democrats were a little complacent. Now you have that dynamic going in the other direction where Democrats are fired up and ready to go vote in the midterm. It's Republicans who are feeling a little bit more complacent or in some cases a little bit disaffected that they got total control and haven't done as much with that control as they thought they were going to do. So this is, I think, a good indicator, this Wisconsin sample, of the way that the country's maybe moving a little bit more back towards the blue side after the dramatic result that happened last fall.
So the poll that just came out has Scott Walker losing to a generic Democratic opponent, 48-43, and generic Democratic opponent because the election's still a year away. We don't know who that Democratic opponent is going to be. So typically when you do a survey like this and it's the incumbent versus generic opponent, compare that to when we actually do know who the candidate is going to be. Does the number for the generic Democrat, for instance, will that number go up or will it go down? Does it tend to when we actually know who the candidate is? Is there a trend there?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And as a general rule of thumb, we find that a generic candidate does about 5 points better than an actual candidate. So I don't necessarily think of this as Walker is favored to lose so much as I think of this poll as it's sort of a toss-up. And that is a very interesting question to see develop over the next year is whether Democrats in a lot of these key races across the country are going to be able to get candidates who live up to sort of that generic level. In addition to this Wisconsin poll we did, There have been polls from both Fox News and CNN this week on the generic congressional ballot that have found Democrats up by 14 to 16 points against a generic Republican for the House next year. And certainly if that plays itself out, Democrats will most likely get control of the U.S. House. And it's just going to be interesting to see if they can get strong enough candidates to live up to that label. Sometimes you get a candidate who's stronger than a generic. In 2015, Louisiana elected a Democratic governor, John Bel Edwards. He turned out to be far stronger than your average sort of Democratic candidate would be. And then sometimes you sort of have the opposite of that equation happen. Frankly, in the presidential race last year, I think Donald Trump against a generic Democrat would have done a lot better than Hillary Clinton ended up doing. She just happened, because of all the accumulated stuff that had happened to her over the years, not to be as strong as a sort of more just banal, bland sort of Democratic candidate might have been. And Wisconsin is actually a very interesting sort of proxy for what's happening nationally. There are 10 Democratic candidate seeking the nomination for governor in Wisconsin. And when I say that's sort of representative of a national trend, there's just so many Democrats filing to run for office next year in a way that we've never seen before, and also raising money in a way that we've never seen before. Third quarter financial reports have started coming out a lot over the last 2 weeks. And in a lot of cases, for instance, in congressional races, Democrats are raising more money than the Republican incumbents have. And that's very unusual this far out in the cycle. So in some ways, it's a mess in Wisconsin to have 10 people running. But it also speaks to how fired up people are and how many people want to run for office now in this political climate.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, publicpolicypolling.com is their website. New look design on the website, by the way. So go there and get the latest numbers from Wisconsin, which is the survey we're talking about, but some recent national numbers there, too. Tom, you mentioned the GOP is unpopular, and that's not so much, I mean, that's not entirely a consequence of the fact that Democrats are fired up. As you mentioned, Republican voters are either complacent or perhaps more likely disaffected. Is that because, and I mean, there's different interpretations and people going in different directions with this, but based on what you're seeing from the surveys you're doing, are Republican voters disaffected because the GOP is not able to get things accomplished, or are they disaffected because they're not in favor of the things that the GOP is trying to accomplish? It's one thing to say, well, it's bad that they didn't pass a repeal and replace of health care, but the proposal that they tried to pass had 25-30% support, and that was really low even among Republicans. So is it a combination of both? Is it one more than the other?
Well, they're really kind of getting it on both sides is the interesting dynamic. For instance, on Obamacare repeal, there was about 25 or 30% of Republicans who didn't want Obamacare repealed. So you antagonize those folks by even trying to repeal it. And then you had another set of Republican voters who really wanted Obamacare repealed and have been furious about it for 10 years, and it was a really high priority for them. And then they're mad because it didn't actually end up happening. And I think you could see a similar sort of dynamic now on tax reform. Certainly a lot of Republicans want tax reform, but then there's other Republicans who think that it's just going to go to benefit the rich. So if they fail to pass anything on that front, again, they're going to irritate a certain segment of the party who doesn't like what they're trying to do on the issue. And then they're going to irritate another segment of the party who think they haven't done enough on the issue. And something we saw in that Wisconsin poll that was really fascinating when it comes to Paul Ryan is we asked people, do you think he's been too supportive of Trump, not supportive enough of Trump, or do you think he's gotten it just right? Only 23% of voters, even in his home state of Wisconsin, said that Paul Ryan is striking the right balance when it comes to Trump. 44% said he's been too supportive of Trump, but then 25% said he hasn't been supportive enough of Trump. And when we broke down those numbers, what we found was that almost all Hillary Clinton voters thought that Ryan was being too supportive of Trump. But then among Trump voters, a majority thought that Ryan wasn't being supportive enough of Trump. So they're really trying to, I think Republican politicians and the Republicans in Congress right now are really trying to strike a difficult balance. And what we're finding in our polling is that they are not succeeding in striking that balance. Voters really do not think that they're getting sort of the right approach that they need to for dealing with this new political environment.
I'm going to let you go in a second, but there's one more number out of that Wisconsin survey that I noticed, and we were just a few minutes ago talking with some people from the Southern Coalition for Social Justice and the League of Women Voters about the gerrymandering cases that are working through the courts here in North Carolina. Of course, everyone's looking at Gil v. Whitford, which is the Wisconsin gerrymandering case that's at the Supreme Court right now, where we're waiting to hear a decision from them sometime probably in the next couple, 3 months or so. And there is this proposal that is on the table in some states that has passed and become policy in others that's being talked about everywhere of taking the redistricting power out of the hands of lawmakers who stand to benefit personally from the way that the lines are drawn one way or the other, and putting it in the hands of an independent redistricting commission that doesn't have a personal stake in the outcome, who can be a little bit more fair with the way that the lines are drawn. And we've seen this across the country, and it shows up again here in the Wisconsin poll that a vast majority of Americans, and this is a pretty solid majority or plurality, at least on all sides, Democratic, Republican, and Independent, is very much in favor of an independent redistricting commission. There are a couple of states where that's become policy, but in a lot of cases, in a lot of states, North Carolina being one, the proposal's on the table, but then it runs up against the fact that the lawmakers who would be in charge of passing it have a direct personal stake in things being the way they are. So it becomes really difficult to pass. So my question then is, are there other issues? Because this seems to be a really odd disconnect between the fact that voters are so strongly in favor of this and the fact that it just isn't happening in most states across the country. Are there other issues that are like that, where there's that big of a disconnect between voters being overwhelmingly in favor of something and then at the state level or at the legislative level, it just, for whatever reason, not getting done? The only one I can think of is like 95% of Americans are in favor of banning flag burning, but the Supreme Court has ruled that that's unconstitutional. But that's not even a legislative action thing. The legislature did it, and then it got struck down. Is there something where voters are overwhelmingly in favor and the legislature's just not doing it?
Yeah, there's a few things like that. I mean, what definitely jumps to the top of my head is background checks on gun purchases. Mm-hmm. We've consistently found support in the 80s or 90s for, but there's no action from politicians. Similarly, closing the gun show loophole, similar sorts of support with no action. On this poll, something we found had 79% support, and we've also found this in other states, is letting people refinance their student loans the way that you would a house. There's overwhelming support for that from voters that doesn't come from politicians. And then one more thing that came out in Wisconsin, and which we've also seen in North Carolina, is there tends to be about 60% support for Medicaid expansion and only 20 to 25% opposition. And despite that, you see politicians sort of blocking it based on trying to appeal to ideological conservatives or trying to appeal to major donor special interest groups, that kind of thing. So it's interesting how much we see in our polling that there really is a huge disconnect between how voters feel a lot of these issues and how politicians end up acting on them or not.
Publicpolicypolling.com is the website. Go there, get more. Tom Jensen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.